speaker is Julian Reyes. Unfortunately, Julian couldn't make it, but no worries. We have one of the authors, Emily Elias, here to fill in for Julian.
So I'm here to represent Julian Reyes today. Unfortunately, he had jury duty. So can you hear me? I'm hearing speak up, so I'll try. So I work with Julian, and I am the deputy director, one of them, of the USDA Southwest Climate Hub. I'm also a hydrologist, a research hydrologist. So stepping a little bit outside of my typical area to give this presentation today. So I include Julian's contact information at the end. I will do my best to represent his research today. And I also wanted to acknowledge the Jornada Experimental Range, which is an ARS research unit, and Jeb Williamson, because at the end I'll be showing you a new tool that we just put together that Jeb has really been instrumental in working on. So I wanted to make sure I said Julian's the driving force behind this research, and Jeb was really instrumental in creating this tool. And we're going to do something a little bit different because we're looking at crop insurance data and how that relates to weather and climate trends. So I won't spend too much time on crop insurance. The motivation for this project really comes out of the USDA Climate Hubs. They were formed in 2014 to help farmers and ranchers and foresters adapt to climate change by using data and information. So really what we're trying to do is use what we know about crop insurance payments over time, and how that relates to weather and climate to think about what might happen in the future, right? What's happening already as we've had a warmer climate and what might happen in the future. We also partnered with some of our liaisons, Climate Hub liaisons, with the Risk Management Agency, which is the agency that does crop insurance in our country. The very first National Climate Hub leader is in the room, as well as the other deputy director for the Southwest Hub, and I didn't expect him to be here, so I had to acknowledge Randy Johnson and Katie Steele. So what's crop insurance? I'm going to go through this quickly because I know you don't really want to hear about crop insurance. It acts as a safety net against different weather, climate-related perils. It began in the 1930s in response to the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl. It's been very sporadic for many decades. Then in 1994, an act was passed. It became more solidified in our country, and 2 years later, the Risk Management Agency was formed. In 2016, about over $100 billion worth of crops were insured. About $4 billion in indemnities or payments back to farmers was made in that year. And about 70% of the crop insurance in this country goes for four crops: corn, wheat, soybeans, and cotton. So there are three main players in this. There are the farmers. The farmers pay a portion of the premium. They go through one of 18 private insurance companies. Those companies then forward the money on to the FCIC, which is the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation. The FCIC subsidizes all of this, so they pay those insurance companies for operation and administrative costs. When a crop fails or production falls below a specific threshold, then the farmers receive some type of payment. At the end of the year, the FCIC and the private insurance companies either adjust for whatever gains or losses there were. So what we were trying to do with this work is really look at to what extent crop indemnities or those payments are explained by weather and climate, and how much of the weather and climate data manifests in those indemnities over time. We use an example here of what was happening in the 2012-2013 drought across the United States, and specifically in the Midwest. You can see this sort of exceptional drought in the top. That's the darkest color across the Midwest. And then the indemnities or the payments are in the bottom map. So overall, over that time period, it's estimated that between $75 and $150 billion were spent. So that's about 1% of the GDP. So it cost a lot. The expected outcomes from this work are really to inform future MA programs and to look and see some regionally relevant information. Just as you mentioned in your talk, it's really about that regionally relevant information in the anticipation that it's going to continue to get warmer and in, for the southwestern United States, drier. So what comes in this RMA data when you get the information? You know the time down to the month. You know the location down to the county in our country. You know what crop was affected, what insurance plan was used, and the cause of loss. And now this cause of loss was, there's human error associated with that, basically. People decide what they, if they want to call it heat, if they want to call it drought. So there are a lot of different causes of loss related to weather, and that's what comes in. All this information, you can download it from the RMA website. It's right there. It took some effort to pull that information into something that was usable, just for your information. And so first we're going to just show you some information, some data visualization. So what's happened in the southwestern United States, which is also including Colorado, over time? We've paid a lot more since 1980 for in insurance, for crop-related insurance, as you can see, particularly in California, where there are a lot of specialty crops. And in Colorado, a lot of that is attributable to wheat. It's really hard to see in the graph on the left-hand side what's going on in maybe Utah or Nevada. So if you look at the dot plots on the right, you can see that we're actually paying more in those states as well. It's just a little bit harder to see when you have California and Colorado included. Now we're looking at those indemnities by cause of loss. And I should say that the number of policies really hasn't increased over time. So the payments are increasing, but the number of policies from 1980 to 2016 for this region of the country hasn't increased. So you can see a lot more payments due to drought, particularly from 2000 and on. Failure in irrigation supply, I think, is really interesting because that's not failure in equipment. That's no water. That's lack of surface or groundwater for irrigation. So in the southwestern United States, we talk about and think that that's how climate change will probably impact that part of the country. It's interesting to actually see it in the data already, that we at least have more payments related to that, as well as heat. I kind of like the excess precipitation because it's what you would think it would be, right? You have wet years and dry years that fluctuates, so it's what you would hope you would see in those indemnities. Just very quickly, these are the top five causes of loss in the Southwest. They represent about 70% of the payments. Drought, excess moisture, failure of irrigation supply, which again is just no water, hail, and heat. And those have, as again, increased over time. These are total indemnities. But we thought we would also map it out. I like maps too. And you can really see that it's not consistent in one region of the country, certainly, as you look at the Central Valley of California, for example. Excess moisture was the problem in 2000. Heat was the problem in 2015. There are some regions where it is more consistent. Eastern Colorado is pretty consistently has some trouble with drought unless it's excess moisture. So you can kind of decide where you want to work and what's going on in these areas. Another way to look at the data is what crops are vulnerable, right? What crops are really getting the most payments? For the southwestern United States, it's wheat, corn, and cotton for the most part. But then you also have some almonds and grapes, so it's interesting. But what's more interesting is if you look at the crop vulnerability by cause of loss. So if you look at this graph, you can see that how you might want to target some of your adaptation. You can see wheat and corn are particularly vulnerable to drought. You can see that pistachios have most of their cause of loss relates to heat. So is there something you can do to adapt now to some of these heat issues? So now to get more, that was all data visualization, just looking at what we had. Now we did do some trend analysis. We used the Mann-Kendall test to just assess the magnitude and the direction of the monotonic trend. So over the time period, there's fluctuation. Is it generally increasing or decreasing? And we normalize the indemnities by area to do this analysis. And then we also use the Kendall test to measure the strength of the relationship, the monotonic relationship between two variables. So the climate variables over time, The time period we used was 2001 to 2016 because that's where we actually had the area, the crop area in the data. Before that time, we didn't. And we were basically looking for those positive correlations or negative correlations over time in those data. And what we found in the monotonic trends, those normalized trends in identities by state, was pretty interesting. In general, there are increasing trends of the normalized indemnities across all the causes of loss. You don't see any decreasing trends in those indemnities, which you would expect from the data, from the graphs I showed. But more interesting, I think, is that the failure of irrigation supply occurs in all six states. So lack of water in all six states, I might not have guessed that. I might have thought maybe California would be leading that. But they were significant in all six states. And it's not that unexpected because we know that we had pretty major drought at the end of this time series, right? I mean, we were, so you kind of expect you would see this trend, but I was a little surprised to see it in Colorado and maybe Nevada, well, not Nevada, but Utah. So it was a little surprising. Also, drought and heat causes of loss were significant in some of the states, not all of them. And New Mexico, unfortunately, just is affected by drought and heat and lack of water and hot wind for their crop failure. It's hard to grow in New Mexico, I think. Now we're looking at those trends in normalized indemnities by crop, which is kind of interesting because it shows you which crops you might not want to grow in the Southwest, really. If you look at it, wheat is affected by all of these, along with sorghum and cotton, surprisingly, a little bit. Particularly the failure of irrigation supply. So it talks about how irrigation is important to those field crops, corn and cotton and sorghum and wheat. Or what we might be seeing there is that when you don't have enough water, you choose not to irrigate your field crops and you save that water for something else, potentially. You might be seeing that there. Also, what's interesting, I think, is that heat was significantly correlated with cherries and apples and almonds, which could be due to some kind of significant heat event, or it could be that it's just consistently getting warmer and you're not getting the chilling hours that you needed to produce. Okay, so I need to hurry. So this is interesting how this all comes together. Now we're looking at, I should back up and say this is the standardized precipitation index, the Palmer Drought Severity Index, and temperature metrics and precipitation over an entire state averaged for a year. So pretty coarse data. And we're looking at how that affects the drought or heat that was reported in those indemnity, in that indemnity information. And so you can see that there's a negative correlation. The negative correlation implies that the increasing payments are associated with a lower value. So for the PDSI and for the SPI, basically that means when it's drier, you have more payments. It's what you would expect. It makes sense, and they're correlated well. Their increasing maximum temperatures are correlated with increasing normalized indemnities for California and New Mexico. But if you look at the temperature, there's not a lot of significant correlation there, I guess 4 out of 30. So the relationship might be more state and crop dependent based on those mix of values. The annual mean annual temperature variables might not be able to capture those long-term trends. Or it could be just due to trying to look at an entire state over a year and try to make a statement about that. So a lot of people have asked us for specific information on a specific crop or a specific county. People want to hone in on where they live, who they're working with. So we created this data visualization tool. It's online. We're in the phase where people are looking at it and giving their feedback. So I would like to invite you to please look at it, pick a county or crop that's most interesting to you, and see what you think and what might make it better, because we're at that location where we're making those changes now. So in conclusion, just really the data visualization was helpful in prioritizing what crops are vulnerable in the region, what causes of loss might be important, and how to try to work with people on adaptation. You know, which crops, which areas do we really need to think about working with? The trends in indemnities reflect some of those biophysical manifestations from the weather events and the long-term climate, and that's despite the human reporting in the cause of loss data. And those cause of loss trends seem to be state and commodity specific. So that's it.